Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, and welcome to CFRI's CF Community Voices, coming to you from our home studio in Palo Alto, California. I'm Sue Landgraf, Executive Director of Cystic Fibrosis Research Incorporated, CFRI, and I'm very pleased to welcome our viewers and listeners. We have a very special program ahead, but before getting started, I want to thank our generous sponsors, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Chiesa USA, Gilead Sciences, and Proteostasis Therapeutics. Please note that no information presented in this podcast is intended for a patient's diagnosis or treatment. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Thank you, and let's get started.
Hi everyone, my name is Michelle Strobe. I am the Adult Cystic Fibrosis Dietitian at Stanford Healthcare. I have the privilege of seeing CF patients, adult patients, in both clinics and also in the hospital, so I'm in and out patient. I also get to see my CFers before and after lung transplant. And today I'm going to talk about a lot of the myths that I hear in my clinics and also with my patients. I'm calling it Mythbusters CFGI Edition. So today we're going to briefly talk about the GI tract, and then also we're going to go through some myths that I hear again from my patients oftentimes, ranging from enzymes to constipation to CF gut and pancreatic sufficiency. We'll also talk a little bit about prevention. So the GI tract is something that we talk about all the time. As practitioners, we use a lot of words that we use day to day, and we may know firsthand, it's just part of our vocabulary. But a lot of my patients talk to me and they kind of bring me aside and they're like, what does that mean? I'm not sure. And GI tract is one of those words, figuring out what that definition actually is. So I want to review that briefly. What is the GI tract? So the GI tract is the digestive tract. It starts from your mouth and it goes through your anus, and it includes all the accessory organs that help you to digest food and process waste. Essentially, the GI tract is where the food you eat is turned into nutrients your body needs to do the things that it wants to do. So walking and talking, breathing, pumping your blood, beating your heart, all the things that we need to do day to day to really function as a person. That's what our GI tract helps us to do. First myth I want to talk about is constipation, and this is a really good segue from the other presentation. So this is something I talk about all the time with my patients in clinic. A lot of them, when they first come to us, are a little kind of hesitant to talk about their bowel movements because we ask a million questions. And this is really the reason why. We talk about bowel movements because really constipation is a common thing in CF. I hear these two quotes often. I have at least one bowel movement a day, so I'm not constipated. Or I'm having super frequent liquid stools, there is no way I'm constipated. And both of these statements may be false. I'll talk a little bit about constipation and why these actually may be false. So constipation is stool impaction in the colon. It's usually associated with a reduced number of stools per day or smaller volume of stools. However, it is sometimes associated with an increased number of stools that are liquid in nature. This is called overflow diarrhea. Overflow diarrhea is from chronic constipation, and it's when liquid stool seeps past an impacted stool in the colon, and this is from a built-up blockage in the colon. So this is when we see an increased number of stools that are actually associated with constipation. Constipation can be seen as hard and pebbly stools that are hard to pass. It's associated with gas, bloating, abdominal pain, and distension, and it occurs in both our pancreatic insufficient and sufficient patients. The goal for CF for constipation, to prevent constipation, is 2 to 3 stools a day, type 3 and 4. When I say type 3 and 4, you can see here on the right side of the screen, the Bristol stool chart. Anybody who's in our clinics, and probably most CF clinics, have seen this Bristol stool chart. We like to use this as kind of a gauge for what stools are looking like. And again, 3 and 4 are what we like to see. This is telling us you're not constipated, you're not having diarrhea. Type 1 and type 7 are those that we're worried about with constipation. Type 1 is definitely constipated, it's the hard, pebbly stools. And type 7, again, is diarrhea, and this can be associated with constipation. So this is why we like to give a goal. These stools should be formed and sinking to prevent constipation. Why does it matter? Why do we talk about constipation? Why do we prevent this? Untreated or poorly managed constipation can lead to DIOS or DIOS. This is distal intestinal obstructive syndrome. This is a more severe form of constipation, and it's very medically challenging to treat. It can be easily misdiagnosed by those who are unfamiliar with a condition, so it's very important to prevent this. Constipation is often associated with discomfort and pain that can lead to decreased food intake and weight loss. It can also be associated with rectal prolapse and hemorrhoids. Prevention of CF, again, is very important. It's something we strive to do every single clinic visit every time we see our CF patients. First key in prevention is strict adherence to enzyme regimen and making sure that you have adequate enzyme coverage. This means not skipping enzymes and making sure your enzyme dose is appropriate, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. If you don't have appropriate enzyme coverage or you're skipping your enzymes, this can lead to malabsorption and sticky stools, which can lead to constipation. Good hydration is key, and you can really work with your CF team or your dietitian to make sure what hydration goal is yours specifically. But it's important to note that you have to increase your hydration in summer months when you're sweating more, when you're exercising, and also during CF exacerbations. Consistent bowel regimen is key. Whether or not you have one currently, it's important to talk to your team to see whether you need to add one on or adjust it to prevent constipation. Also, monitoring of dietary changes and their effect on stooling is really important to monitor constipation. Some of my patients are on low fiber diets to prevent constipation because that added fiber really blocks them up. Some need a higher fiber diet, so it's really important to know what your triggers are. The second myth I want to talk about is about enzymes. Enzymes are a talk in every single clinic of mine, and it's something that myself and my patients talk about all the time. There's a lot of myths about enzymes, and I want to dispel some of these myths today. The first myth I hear a lot is it doesn't matter when I take my enzymes as long as I take them with my meals at some point. I always take my enzymes with my meals, but I don't need them with my milk, my smoothie, my Ensure, or my milkshake. And expiration dates don't matter. These are all false statements, and I'll talk about that in a second. The real scoop on enzymes. So about 80 to 90% of my CF patients, and CF patients in general, are pancreatic insufficient. And this means they require digestive enzymes when they're eating. Enzymes help to digest the carbohydrates, proteins, and fats in our food. And these are the nutrients that provide us our calories. They help us to gain or maintain a healthy weight. They absorb our essential nutrients, including our vitamins and our minerals. And they help reduce the symptoms of constipation due to proper digestion and absorption of these nutrients. Missing or skipping enzymes leads to poor digestion of our food. This leads to weight loss or the inability to gain weight despite good intake. I've had patients who, prior to being diagnosed with pancreatic insufficiency and prior to being on enzymes, would eat upwards of 10,000 calories a day just to maintain a very low weight because they just can't get enough nutrients in because their body's not absorbing the calories. So it's really important to make sure that you're on the right dose of enzymes. Again, poorly digestive food remains in your system when you are malabsorbing your food if you don't have that proper dose. And this leads to gas, bloating, stomach aches and pain, frequent floating stools or greasy stools, foul-smelling stools, diarrhea, the urgency to have a bowel movement after eating, and also constipation and DIOS. Timing is key with enzymes. It's important to note that you must take your enzymes at the beginning of your meals or at the beginning and the middle of your meals, not at the end of your meals. It's also important to notice that for meals that last longer than expected or longer than usual, for example, Thanksgiving dinner, take part of your enzyme dose at the beginning of your meal and a second part in the middle of your meal. For example, for me for Thanksgiving, I know I go back I start with one gigantic plate of food, and then I go back for a second, and then I go back for a third, and then there's dessert, of course. And so from the start of my meal to the end of my meal, it's about 2 hours. Because you're sitting, you're chatting, you're going back for seconds. Enzymes are really only effective for about 60 minutes in your intestine. So really making sure that if you're gonna have a very long meal, taking another set of enzymes in the middle of your meal is an important way to prevent malabsorption and prevent these other uncomfortable GI symptoms. take your enzymes with all of your foods. This includes liquid and solid foods. All of your foods that have protein, fat, and carbohydrates must have enzymes with them. I can't tell you how many of my CF patients are wonderful at taking their enzymes every single meal, and they just don't take it with their milk, or they don't take it with their milkshakes. And I kind of ask them why, and they say, but it's a liquid, why do I need to take it? And it's really understanding that it must be with all foods, whether they're liquid or solids, that have protein, carbs, and fats. The exception to this are carbohydrate-only foods. These are our fruits, our fruit snacks, juice, soda, hard candies. These actually don't need the enzymes to be digested, but you're not going to live off of that. So it's important to know that you must take it with all foods otherwise. Expiration date is something I went on a goal of 2016 to pass along to all of my patients. If your enzymes are expired, throw them out. I know for myself, at least, if I have milk in the fridge and it's a week old, I kind of do the sniff test. I'm like, it's okay, I'm going to keep drinking it. Not the case with your enzymes at all. If they're expired, throw them out, because enzymes will actually lose their effectiveness after the expiration date. Same with if they're heat damaged. So make sure you keep an eye on your enzyme expiration date. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about myths I hear about enzymes, because they're my favorite myths to dispel. Next part is, okay, I get it. Enzymes are important. The more, the better, right? And I take a handful of enzymes with my meals. The actual number doesn't really matter. I just make sure I take them. These are both false as well. Enzyme dosing is specific for each and every patient of mine. We dose our patients' enzymes based on the body weight and also the specific enzyme that they're on. This is also dosed either on those two factors or the fat content of meals. We also take into account the pancreatic insufficiency status of our patients, and this is done by fecal fat testing or also by symptoms. High doses of enzymes over a long period of time, and this is above the dosing limit, can lead to fibrosing colonopathy. So this is why it's very important to not increase your enzyme dose on your own and to contact your CF team if you're experiencing signs and symptoms of malabsorption, so we can really comb through the symptoms together and figure out what's going on, and we can make the adjustments appropriately. CF gut. This is something that is one of my favorite myths to dispel, because I feel like my CF patients deal with a lot of discomfort and pain, sometimes unnecessarily. I hear this all the time, that my stomach bothers me. That's just my CF gut. I can't do anything about it. And one thing I really want to pass along to you is talk to your team. Don't live with discomfort. Let us know what's going on. We can usually help with the symptoms. Maybe not all the time, but we always can look at the enzyme regimen. Maybe you need an adjustment. Maybe you need a change. Your bowel regimen, maybe we need to add something. Maybe we need to change the timing of something. Or dietary changes. Are certain foods triggers for you? Are chia seed or flaxseed, low fiber, cucumbers, whatever it is, what is going on that's causing these symptoms? Don't just live with this discomfort. I had a 50-year-old-ish patient who came to me in one of my clinics and said just this: I have a CF gut, nothing I can do about it. I always am comfortable after meals. I'm always bloated, I'm always nauseous. I can't do anything about it. And again, we sat down for probably 20 minutes and really combed through everything with her, her food, her diet, her bowel regimen, everything with a fine-tooth comb. And we figured out that she was taking her enzymes at the end of her meals for at least 20 years. We made that simple change by moving her enzymes from the end of her meals to the beginning of her meals. She called me about 3 weeks later and said she felt fabulous. She's never felt so good in her life. And it's just that small change that you can really do to make a big difference. So again, just don't live in discomfort. Talk to your team and see what we can do. Enzymes and constipation. This is one of my favorites again. I hear this often. When I take my enzymes, I get constipated. A little grease in the system helps keep me regular. And this is false. Not taking your enzymes, as I've mentioned a few times, or a lower dose than is recommended, leads to malabsorption of our nutrients. This increases our risk for DIOS, constipation, and bowel obstruction. Also, the most common cause of constipation in CF patients is malabsorption. Additionally, calories are not utilized. As I mentioned, it's a struggle a lot of times to get enough calories in to gain weight. So make sure that you're taking your enzymes so all those calories can be utilized. The main thing to keep in mind is taking a proper dose of enzymes. Not only will it help with preventing constipation and calories, it's important to note that this actually might result in a fewer number of stools and more formed stools because of proper absorption. As we see increased absorption of nutrients, we see decreased excretion of undigested nutrients. This is because your body is digesting the foods more easily, and you may actually have fewer stools, more closer to that 2 to 3 stools a day that are formed and sinking. And of course, this can be concerning for constipation, especially in my patients who've had any obstructions in the past or DIOS or constipation that can be really uncomfortable. So when they go from 5 to 6, 7 bowel movements a day that are loose to 2 to 3 a day that are formed and sinking because they're properly absorbing, it can be concerning. But keep in mind, this is because you're absorbing more nutrients, and that might slow things down a little bit, but we always want to keep in mind that goal of 2 to 3 stools a day. However, again, talk to your team if you're concerned, and there may just be a needed change to your bowel regimen. Last myth I'll talk about today is pancreatic sufficiency and GI. My pancreas works normally, and I don't have to take enzymes to eat. This means my GI tract is totally normal, and this is also false. Pancreatic sufficient and insufficient patients with CF are more prone to constipation and DIOS. This is because the CFTR gene mutation that causes CF can lead to impaired intestinal motility and also impaired intestinal secretion. This means that my CF patients, pancreatic sufficient and insufficient, have a dry and sticky gut. This leads to harder to pass stools and may cause constipation. So it's important to note that whether you're pancreatic sufficient or insufficient, you may need a bowel regimen, and let us know what's going on with your stooling. Prevention is key. Anybody who is in my clinic knows that I like to be proactive versus reactive. I say this all the time. The reason for our intrusion into GI, why we want to know all the bowel movements, everything about you, every clinic, is really our goal for GI therapies, our care team visits, and assessing your stooling habits and all your GI symptoms is to prevent constipation, DIOS, discomfort, malabsorption, and make sure you're on the proper bowel regimen and the proper enzyme regimen. And this is really our goal for our CF patients. Thank you so much for your time.